I'm talking about wife of thy youth. There's something that's very common in this part of the world. Incidentally, it's not common in my own part. I'm from Western Nigeria. We don't have that problem. And let me say this to you. I am not speaking as God is my witness. God, who I say with all my heart, I am not speaking out of my culture. My wife can testify boldly to that. I am one person that don't do things because that's the way it's done in our place. Somebody was sharing with me some problems they were having at that time. He said, the husband says that, you know, the way it's in our place is that if you marry me, you've married the whole family. I say it's not a Christian principle. My wife married me, did not marry my father, did not marry my brother. Traditionally, in Africa, in my own setting, my wife cannot call my brother by his first name. It's supposed to be disrespectful. Even if he was a nephew of mine that was just 5 years old, she will genuflect to greet him in the morning. But that doesn't happen in my house. If my wife is older, in fact, whether she's older than you or not, it's not the problem. Once you step into my house and I'm older than you, my wife is older than you. You get the principle? If you talk roughly to my wife, you're not my friend. Even if I don't tell you anything, I dislike you from that day. Even if she was your friend, maybe all of you a classmate, and I married her finish. As I marry her like this, and you see me say, Pastor Banky, good morning, sir. Then you talk to my wife, say, first of all, you pinch her ears. I go, look, I go give you knock, boza. I say, you're a very stupid boy. They not get respect for in her place. I know she was your class, and that's your problem. But the man she married in the military, let me give you an example. If a man is a colonel, his wife gets the respect of a colonel everywhere she goes. I'm just there to explain that they don't do it like that in my place, it's their problem. Do you follow what I'm saying? I have found out that this is the best way to do things according to the word of God. So I'm not sharing with you what the way things are done in my place. But I'm just saying that there are certain strongholds that are not in certain places. And you find in certain places, so you go after them. There are cultures that have good things. Do you get my point? Like, for example, they will tell you that Yorubas are very respectful. All right? But I read from the Bible that God commanded the Israelites that you shall rise before the aged and bow your head before the gray-headed, which means that God expects to respect old people. If it was not like that in your place, you learn it. It's one thing I refuse to throw away because, you see, by virtue of my position in secular life, for goodness sake, I'm a university lecturer, I'm a consultant, I'm a pathologist. I get respect for just being what I am. Do you get my point? There are people, this is no exaggeration, there are people that started working in the same department where I worked that started the year I was born. But I walk in, oh, you see, good morning, sir. Do you know, I have to remind myself that the scriptures prevents me from disrespecting such people. Look, even if I have to give you a query, I will give you a query with respect. I'm explaining the principle here. It is clear in the scripture. So if my people have that at a, what do you call it, a culture, we make sure it does not die. And there are other cultures in other places that you find that are good. You go there, you copy it if it is in keeping with God's word. Not actually copying the culture, but obeying the word of God and using those people as an example. No, there are little things that people do sometimes, and no, I like to copy good things. I remember once, I still remember that young lady. I think her name was Yinka or something. One senior brother to all of us. She was junior to me slightly in university, but that brother was still to all of us. He was one of those anointed people when we were small, small boys. Jokingly, you know, she was playing, he was teasing her. He opened her bag and took 20 naira from me. Now, get my point, 20 naira then. 20 naira then was the largest denomination we had in Nigeria. And for your information, to eat a decent meal at that time, when I was in university, I remember that particular period, was 1 naira. You walked into the buka, you paid a naira, and you were well fed. This is the end of the story. So he now said, I'm just teasing. He now put the money back. So the lady said, no, sir, you can have it. The guy said, what? He said, yes, you can have it. She took the 20 naira and gave it to this guy. I remember I was there. We're in a room. I observed. Now, I didn't know who her father was, and I did not care. I just made up my mind I had to give somebody 20 naira. There's no saying that, you know, these are rich girls. That one didn't concern me. I saw a human being give another 20 without batting an eyelid. I said, so it's possible to be this generous. Shortly after, another brother was in our room, another senior brother. So he said he wanted to buy a shirt, and nice shirts then were going for like 40 naira. Now, this was years ago, right? All those shirts now. There are a few thousands now. You follow my point. I still remember very well. And then a meal was 1 naira. No, get my point. So now I said, aha, I want to buy a shirt, and who's going to sew towards it? It was the opportunity I was waiting for. I jumped up, opened the box I had there, brought out 20 naira, and gave to him. He was surprised. He didn't know that I'd been looking for the opportunity to just do something. One of my friends, still my very good friend till today, he was present. He came. After the episode, he came back to me. Like, please, was that a drama of some sort? I said, what? You gave that guy 20 naira? I said, I did. Is he paying you back? I said, no, I dashed it to him. He said, for what? I said, nothing. I just felt like dashing him 20 bucks. Are you following my point? I saw a good thing and I copied it. I didn't dismiss it, which is what most people do. You know, you don't, this girl, she's very rich now. You don't know her father. She's a very rich girl. No. I copied it. I mean, I didn't die from that, but my own was that I had this one that I meant to have given you out. Now, let's get back to our stronghold. There is a stronghold that is very, very common around here, and we have to break down one because it is against the law of God. Men think their wife is the last addition to a successful life, a successful career. That's not God's order. We'll prove that one by reading from Genesis chapter 2. I said, I'm not talking about romance, relationships. I'm trying to establish God's principle. All right. You'll see that God said, after he commanded Adam concerning the garden, the trees in the garden, verse 16. Then in verse 18, he says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Then in verse 19, he described how God made, formed every beast from the field and the birds of the sky, the birds of the field. And then God brought them to Adam to see what he would name them. Verse 20 says, the man gave names to all the cattle and to all the birds and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not a helper suitable for him. The point I'm making here is this. God had just created everything. And he put Adam in the garden to do a work. And he said, I want a helper to help him work. Do you get what I'm going to say? Adam had achieved nothing in his life. And please, we'll discuss this later. How to name your wife. Because it was the name that Adam gave Eve that she was called. And before that, God wanted to prove to Adam that what he was doing was right. He brought all the animals and said, give them name. It was not possible for Adam to give them name. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, a woman shall she be called. We'll talk about that before we finish. But the point I'm making here is that you see that this is God's order. When he first made the man, he made the helpmate for him. I said, my topic today is what? Wife of thy youth. God takes special interest in the wife of thy youth. If you go to the book of Proverbs, quickly open that, we'll read that one also. Proverbs chapter 5, from verse 15. It said, drink water from your own cistern, and fresh water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets. It said, let them be yours alone, and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Now, I'm giving you something here. If you disagree with this, you are disagreeing with the order of God. You are sowing to the flesh. What do I mean by flesh? The societal norm around you. Listen to this. This is God's order. When a man... Now, before I even say that, you will see where we read from Malachi chapter 2. God said, I have a problem with these men. They come to church to sing praises. I don't listen. They give offering for breakthrough. I break them down. Are you getting my point? And they said, God, why? He said, because there is what is called the wife of thy youth. Whom, and all of you have been dealing treacherously with the wife of thy youth. He said, who is your wife by covenant? Are you getting my point? Now listen, you see, they said, well, widows right, widows right, widows right. One of us came to Enugu, one of those I used to hear on TV, one I used to watch TV.
that here there's no widow's right. The widows don't have any right. If the man dies, the man's family takes everything. They leave the woman with nothing. They take the. When I heard it, I smiled. I said, it's because the men did not marry the wives of their youth. That's what I'm talking about. What is the wife of their youth? Listen to me. I'll say it simply and plainly. The woman you married when you were nothing. It is ungodliness for you to want to be made first before you marry. Let me say this to you clearly. If building a house and buying a car is more important to you, or you say you must have it first before you get married, you have missed God, you did not even know it. That's why you have prayed and you have fasted. You see, because with God, you must first remove the idols from your heart. Somebody said that, is a car not necessary in life? I said it is. But it's not necessary to marry a wife, it's necessary to move around. Marrying a wife does not require a car. You know the way it is in our society. Now, when you have too much money, you don't even carry the bride in a car. You carry her at the back of a horse. To show the other guys that they are not as rich as you, that you have gone beyond driving car to carry bride. You now use carriages, chariots. Meanwhile, people were hoping to buy limousine to carry wife. He said, no, my own nana, chariot. Listen, I'll say this plainly. That's what I'm talking about, the wife of thy youth. Listen to this. If you marry God's after God's order, you succeed faster than you will have succeeded without that woman. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. This ungodly practice that I must buy a house first, I must buy a car first. Listen, young women, don't let them treat you like property. The last one to be acquired. I told you, this is why widows don't have rights. Let's face it now, even if it was you, Uncle, your brother is struggling. You knew when he opened the first shop, when his friends were driving cars, when he was on a bike. Are you getting my point? When he would take night bus to go to Lagos to go and do his business and come back next day, the next day. You knew when armed robbers attacked him on the road, and you know all the struggles he had with the banks. You knew everything. Then finally his business broke through. Then he settled. Unfortunately, he had gotten prosperity at the expense of his blood pressure. He has gotten prosperity at the expense of his health. Then all of you say, bro, you watch his own videos. He said, the only thing lacking in this house now is a wife. I said, this is a disgrace on womanhood. The last property in this house. No, don't you see his own videos? The man has made a lot. The mother will come from the village. This house is fine. No, the only thing that is now lacking is a woman. The last employee. The last piece of property. Now, with that kind of mentality, let me ask you a question. If the man died suddenly, do you think the brother will not take his property from you? He will, and I won't blame him. You have become a chopmate, not a helpmate. We have finished preparing the dish. You have just come to eat. That's not God's idea of a wife. Men, let me tell you, don't do it. Women, don't let them do it to you. Let me tell you, young men. You say, I'm still struggling. Oh boy, that's the time to marry. Then you will struggle together and enjoy together. Listen, you don't even need a court to defend your wife. Peradventure, a man dies suddenly. God will defend her. The brother, the cousin that wants to come and take the property of the widow who struggled her husband will die suddenly. They won't know why. They say the woman is a witch. Yes, she has killed him with witchcraft, which is mighty through God. Why? Because God said, I defend the wife of the youth. Even when the men were alive, when they were misbehaving, God said, you see your problem? Just watch it. I've heard this several times, not from one person, from several people. There are men who married one wife, struggled in life, they suddenly made it because it happened a lot. I was a young man during the Second Republic. I knew all the things that happened. All the senators from my area were taking second wives because now they had money. God said, this is dealing treacherously with the wife of their youth. It was for people like them that coup was plotted. You don't know why things happen. God said, let me throw them out of power. Frustration came upon, and you know, oh God, may God bless women. Somebody say amen. Most of those men, when they have finished enjoying, then they retire and sit down. The wife of their youth is still there, standing, looking at them. someone will start suffering, and the person who starts nursing them is that same woman. And I said, this is what the Bible calls a wife according to covenant. All this one, you become a millionaire. You now drive down to campus, go and look for one small girl to come and add as property. And the idiot thinks she can talk. I don't know. If you're a woman like that, don't even try to talk. You have taken a position of a woman that should never talk. Do you follow what I'm saying? Look, they acquired you. You can't talk. Why should you talk? You don't have the mouth to talk. I'm explaining a principle here. This is how God said it. If you want to prosper, you must marry at the appropriate time. Let's even talk in a natural plane. Everybody wants to marry a successful person. It's in the Bible. He said the rich man has many friends. Every girl calls him. And even in church. All the sisters want to greet the guy. Brother Chooks, how are you? He didn't even call. Yesterday was my birthday. And I was say, oh, I am so sorry. Actually, yesterday was your birthday. What's your name again? Stella. All right. You know, it was also in Kiru's birthday yesterday. It was almost... Do you get my point? Everybody wants me to come for their birthday. You see, you know me, if I become a multi-billionaire and I find 10 times past like this and become younger for face self, if it's your birthday and you're not my wife, it's your personal problem. Do you follow my point? You phone me and say, Pastor, it's my birthday. Please pray for me, sir. I say, good. Hold the phone on your head. The Lord be with you. You are getting the point I'm making. My message today is titled Wife of Thy Youth. Young men, I will say this plainly. Go and get married. I don't know how to say it more than that. Listen. Let me tell you the only thing a woman needs, a real woman, she just needs a place to call her own. It doesn't have to be big. It can be one room, but don't carry her to your father's house. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Even if you had all you have is a mat, it's okay. You have a good story to tell. My wife said something once. She said that one day, she vexed me, and me vexed her. Somebody vexed the other child, but there was a mutual vexing. So she said something. You see, because when we first got married, I was staying in the what we call RMO in Luth. And RMO is essentially a glorified single room. All right? Some of them were not even glorified. They were just single. But the one I was in was glorified in that they had this little partitioning. So they had a bedroom kind of area and a tiny sitting room that takes only 2 chairs and, a tiny thing. And we're there for about, mine in December. We left there in September the following year. And, you know, so she said I forgot to mention. The bed was three. Small bed. It was quite a small bed. So she used to say that, that time, no matter where you call or go, you must still touch me, shall I, if you want to sleep. There's no how. Because the house was so tiny. And if you vex, you will leave the bedroom and come to the sitting room, which is actually the same room with a small partition. He said, in fact, that is that actually, I think I prefer that room to this one we're staying. Now, where the house has 5 bedrooms. If you first can go to room number 1, if you come there, you go to room number 2 and lock the door. Then I was living in Transekula. And the house literally has 5 bedrooms, and we're just 2. That is my wife and I. And occasionally, I have visitors like my brother Deji. And, you know, people just come and go, but we hardly crossed 3 in that house until Akinlu was now born. Are you getting my brother's my son? Are you getting what I'm saying? That time was called the wife of thy youth. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make? Listen, all the woman needs is a place where she can tell your mother not to come to, and she will not be able to come to. I'll talk about that one. Because the two shall become one flesh. The two shall become one flesh means that she's more important than your father, your mother. One of my friends got married once. I told him simply, I know your father has been a very, very strong influence in your life. I said, but you know, that just ended today. I said, from now, you inform him of your decisions and discuss with your wife. That is, you discuss with your wife, what he hears All right? Is the outcome of your discussion. That is not that. What do you think? Is I want to let you know that a man has decided, having consulted with his wife, that this is what we are going to do. And he wants to say, no, I don't think so. He said, well, I never thought you needed to think so, really. But since you don't think so, you're OYO, you know, you're on your own. You are getting the point I'm trying to make. These are the things you need to get in your minds. The one I'm talking about today, before I close, because my time is almost up, I don't want to keep us for too long. The one I'm talking about today is that one of what? Wife of thy youth. Let me say it simply. It is not godly to wait to be made first before you get married. Good wives are never married like that. Men are supposed to struggle together with their wives. I don't mean the two of you must be doing business together. No, not necessarily. A friend of mine was telling me then in Lagos. Let me just give us a testimony. She's my very, very good friend. Now, the house they are living in now, all right? Big, no, two-wing duplex, all right? One they rented out, they're living the other one somewhere in Lagos. Beautiful house, good part of Lagos. She said one day her husband woke her up in the morning and said that, please, before we go to work, I want you to follow me somewhere. Now, get this point. At this point in time, I was earning. I had not met my wife then, so I'm sure I was earning that about 15,000 naira a month. Yes. She was my colleague, you know, we're on the same level, all right? She was telling me that her husband woke up and said, okay, let's go somewhere. I want you to do something for me. So they went, drove to a lawyer's office. The husband happened to also be a lawyer. So they brought out papers and told her to sign. The man had a surprise for her. He just bought a plot of land in Lagos in her name for 1 million naira when she was earning 15,000 naira a month as a medical doctor. He kept that one as a surprise. Now, get my point. 1 mil then, finest Nissan Bluebird, which was about 5 years old at the Tokumba then, was 300,000 naira. Now, no, so I want to get your mind to what a million naira was. I was earning 15,000 bucks every month as a medical doctor, a resident. The man had paid 1 million bucks. So to transfer ownership of that property was that morning. So just said, please, let me bring my wife. Now came, she was supposed to sign the papers. She was not telling me stories. That when they opened his chambers, all right, the first 3 months, they paid the cleaner and the secretary from the salary they were paying us in Loot where we were working. Do you get the point I'm making? Let me say this. Let me leave the men alone. It's actually worse with the women, actually. That's what I think. In which you look at a man as if, what has he achieved? Which car did he come with? If you have that kind of eye, I'm sorry, you are an ungodly woman. I always say this sounds like a joke, but it's true. There are no plane takes passengers after it has taken off. Planes take passengers when they are grounded. All you need to check is that does he have the ability to fly? Once he can fly, enter. Because it will most certainly fly. And when it is flying, it's the wrong time to try to join. They won't even take you. Because once they open the door, the compression of the cabin, everybody starts flying out through the door by force. There's no like a conductor stop and they come. Nothing like that. It makes me like, you know, I used to say this then and I still say it. Well, it's no longer relevant now. But then I meant it then and I still believe it till today. And I want other young men to learn it. I used to say it and I said it with pride. I said, any young woman who looks at me and says, look at this one too, I said, I feel sorry for her. Because God owes me a responsibility to make sure you bite those fingers. I'm not joking about it though. I meant it. That if I come to visit you and a man, I remember the example I used to give, and a man came in a brand new 5 Series BMW, and then most certainly I would have come trekking, wearing my keto sandals. I don't know how many of you walk keto. I meant this, and God is my witness that I will not be intimidated. As if to test me one day, I was talking with a young woman. Somebody came to see her, and she drove away with him in an S500. And I smiled to myself. I said, God, apparently you always watch my words to perform them. You want to see Banky, do you really mean what you are saying? I said, I'm an important man that God has made. I'm giving you an opportunity to co-pilot this craft with me. You are looking, you are doing shakara. I told my wife something once. She was offended by the statement. I said, some men said that if you leave me, I will die. I said, me, die? Die? If you like waka, I'm not dying. I'm going somewhere so great now, you miss. Listen. That time, I didn't know you don't tell a woman something like that. But I said what I believe. One day she told me that. I said, look, but is it true? He said, what, did you have to say it like that? I said, I'm very sorry. He said, if you don't marry me now, I will just die. I said, hey, are you leaving so you can get married, or you are going to achieve something, so you marry so you can achieve what God has called you to achieve? Listen, if you are not sure the man is going anywhere, don't follow him. If a man has arrived, that means he's not moving. Is that not so? Don't marry him. Marry a man who is going somewhere. And guys, for goodness sake, you don't have to impress anybody. I'll tell the young woman simply, look, this guy is good. You better marry him now. I used to tell my friends, joking in school, I say, better me, I don't forget your name, because the day shall come that to see me, you will see three people first. The first one will open the door. The second will ask whether you have an appointment. The third one will decide whether I can see you or not. I say, at that time, it will be important that you can go to my house. You tell my wife, say, oh, okay, now me, oh, say, ah, then she will now call me and say, it is this person. I say, okay, tell him to wait at home. I'm coming. Man, when I was saying this, oh boy, I wasn't even as large as this. And I was darker than I am. You think I'm dark? I was darker then still, because the sun has smitten me. It's true now. Go and read Song of Solomon chapter 1. Sun never beat you until Lagos sun beat you, because you know, because it's coated with molue smoke. So it's tattoo all over your body. They first put the smoke and they use the sun to burn it in. But then, even then, I will be shouting it. That, man, this guy is, life is good. I had no car to drive. I said, life is good. I lived in one-room apartment and I married my wife into it. And I said, life is good. And I meant it, life is good. Because I had caught one word, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 12. It said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Listen, God ensures that I marry first before it flows. Because once it starts flowing, all kinds of things flow with it. All kinds of strange women flow with it. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Listen, guys, if you really know you are going somewhere, I give you an assignment for the year 2007. Find a wife. You will get there faster and you will get there better. Are you getting what I'm saying? And you young women, listen, learn how to look with open eyes. You understand my point? Don't let a man deceive you with the size of his car. For information, cars catch fire. They catch fire. The Bible said, don't set your heart on wealth, because they quickly grow wings and fly away. You set your eyes on a vision. Are you getting my point? When you see a man that has a vision, when you see a man that has a call, when you see a man that's planning something great, good time to join hands with him. My time is gone. Let me just share this story with you about a friend of mine. I took permission from him. I said, I'll use it to preach. Then we'll close. Once this guy was going to get married, and he was broke as a man could be. He had a job before they had taken it away from him. When he was in one course, he met one young woman who was a pharmacy student, and they got engaged. Then they kicked out of his job and they remained engaged. And the guy was so broke. Then one day the girl, as she was finishing school, she said, or they discussed amongst them, they said, it's time to get married. Most people were looking at like, what you do all these kind of people? What is it that they are looking for? Eh? What is the hurry? What is the delay? He said, why are you hurrying? Why are you delaying? I was present at the wedding. I drove one of the cars that people brought to carry people up and down. I still remember one of my friends who's close. Actually, it was through this guy I met him. He said, I should please help him give this guy 5,000 naira towards that wedding. When I delivered it to him, but we had to go to my bank to go and collect the money. We now, no GSM that time. We went to queue in a Nitel booth with our phone cards. And we called. I still remember what he said. He said, I just received the bomb that you sent.
5K. One thing that prints in my mind till today was after the wedding. It was a small ceremony. It was just a registry wedding. Had a small reception. The pastor of his church came there. Blessed them. You know, there was no all this fantastic, the tale of your wedding gown is competing that with that of Okotiebo of those days. You've heard the story of Okotiebo. You know, a Urubu man, when he tied up, like the 40 years ago, they follow him for back. No, small, you know, just did the thing. Get my point. Their honeymoon was in one small guest house near where I was living, and I gave them the key of my room so they could be coming there to fry egg and keep things inside the small fridge I had in there. After that ceremony that I remember, the guy came out of the hall. He said, "Where's my husband?" Hey, you know, very, very playful person. He said, "Oh, where's my husband? My lawful wedded husband?" You know, it made the joke of the whole thing. But she was married, though. Don't know, she has been praying for husband for a long time. She was just finished school. She was starting internship as a pharmacist. You don't have a job, is your problem. At least me, I have a husband. Look, some of you may have heard me tell this story before. A few years later, I got to Lagos. I was already in Enugu there at this time. So a friend of mine said, "Let's go and check on this guy." I said, "Where is he?" He said, "He works in one particular bank. Oh, they have a branch in town here." I said, So we got there, we couldn't see him because he was very busy. He said, "Please." So I rushed and left my friend in that guy's office that he should come and meet me back in Luth when they are through. So the guy took time from his work, came out to roll with us. And when they came, told me where they were, and I got there. I was waiting for them in the doctor's lounge. We now came out. And he moved towards a car. And I said, "There was a driver waiting." I said, "Is that your car?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I just got it. They just gave it to him." Was a brand new Honda Civic. So I said, "Are you an AM, a DM, or an M?" He smiled. He said, "I'm an M." I said, No. "Last time I saw you, you had no job." I said, "I'll use it to preach. I hope you don't mind." The more interesting part of the story, like 2 years later, I went back again. Someone said, "You know this guy?" I said, "No." I said, "The guy in the AMO." He said, "In the AGM for this particular bank." I called him. I said, "Oh boy. Congrats." So he said, "Congrats for what?" I said, "I heard you are now an AGM." He said, "Banky, that one is history now." The bank I'm telling you about was one of those banks that did not have to merge. They stood on their own through that Toyodo transition. So it's not a small bank. I said, "What?" I went to his house to go and visit his wife, just had a second baby, you know. I looked at him and shook my head. I said, "Boy, I'll use it to preach." Next I knew, I got a phone call. He said he had left the bank. He was now working in V-Mobile. I said, "Jesus Christ. For you to take an AGM from a bank, what did you offer him?" And I said, "This guy is not the one that prospered. It is his wife. Listen, prosperity is on the head of a man, it's on the head of a woman. You know what they call resonance in physics? When the natural frequency of one inciting force jams the natural frequency of the thing it's working upon. And the vibration becomes so great it can break a bridge. If a blessed woman meets a blessed man, the resonance, the word we hear about it, is a beggar's attitude looking for the person that has succeeded so you can marry the person. It's even worse. You are less than a man if you are looking for a girl that has money so you can marry her. And then she can help you. You be goatee. You are an idiot." Look, I don't want to keep you for too long. We'll continue discussion tomorrow. But I give you guys an assignment next year. Find a wife. I know nobody will agree. Your parents will tell you that, what is the hurry? Ask them, what is the delay? He said, "Your cousin is not yet married." He said, "That's his personal problem." He said, "He has 15 girlfriends. I have none." Simple. "And your cousin built his house before he married." He said, "That is why when he dies, you will drive away the wife. And since I'm not planning to die, I want to live long. It's better to marry now. Let me marry a real woman, not all these witches that are going around town looking for a successful man." They will not agree, but they can't stop you. Listen, there is a force. Something just came to my mind. There is a force behind the words I'm speaking. That if you speak those words that I'm telling you tonight, and I will continue on tomorrow, when you speak, God said that, look, none of the adversaries will be able to resist or gainsay it. You know how God will, one of the things God will do? God will let them conspire to be smiling and say, let us watch it. We will see. And they are saying, they will see. They are knows that they think like they will not come back to normal. Because by the time you start succeeding, it will be permanently bent. Look, I said, I don't want to keep you for too long. Let's just begin to give God thanks for the power of his word.